So, all of a sudden, it looks like a deal might be possible at Stormont before Friday. Peter Robinson and Martin McGuinness are talking about the end of this week as a deadline. The Prime Minister, David Cameron, the Taoiseach Enda Kenny will be joining the negotiations on Thursday. So is a deal really possible? Well, let's speak to Conor Murphy from Sinn Féin. Good morning to you.
Morning, Stephen.
Good morning. Is a deal possible? Because you were pretty... Well, let me just remind you what you said on the programme last week when I asked you if the deal was possible. We'll be able to bring... In fact, we can't bring it to you, but you basically said no. Is it possible now?
Well, I never said it wasn't possible.
Well, here we've got it. Let me just remind people what you said last week.
But are you any closer, Conor, to finding agreement on welfare reform than you were a few weeks ago before the talks?
No.
Right. To be fair to you, you weren't any closer. So what's happened in a week?
Well, I think what we have from last Thursday onwards is the first sign of a real positive engagement and a sense that, as we had argued, that in relation to the finance end of the problems that we're facing, that the parties needed to be speaking with one voice. Our argument was not with each other in relation to finances. Our argument was with the British government and their approach to the block grant year on year, the sort of cuts that they were already imposing on us and then intending to bring over the next number of years would effectively leave the executive unable to carry out its functions. And then we have the political problems, and there needed to be serious discussion in relation to those legacy issues, the Haas issues, the outstanding issues from previous agreements, because they were also making business impossible in the executive, and that's what was making the executive dysfunctional over the last 3 years or so. So it was necessary to get a deal and an agreement across all of these issues. That's going to be difficult. It is possible.
How close are we now?
Well, the next couple of days will tell. It's very hard to tell. Sometimes you get a sense that things are moving and then you hit a roadblock.
So yeah,
negotiations are complex and there are a lot of factors that come into play. And you can see anti-agreement elements trying to lob a destructive element into it yesterday. So there are always complicating factors, but deals are always possible if the political will exists.
Well, and last week you weren't any closer. Today, are you closer?
I think we're closer in terms of the level of engagement that has been anticipated over the next couple of days. The fact that the British government are possibly showing serious intent in terms of their responsibilities in relation to this. They're not simply chairs of the talks, encouraging parties to get on with it. They're actually participants who have something significant to bring to the table. And if the British Prime Minister is bringing something significant to the table by the end of the week, that will enormously help our ability to deal with the finance issues and also the issues that the British government has to bring to the table in terms of legacy, dealing with the past, outstanding issues of previous agreements. Those are all important factors that the British and indeed the Irish government to a certain extent as well have a role to play in. So if all of that political will comes together towards the end of this week, anything's possible. We still have a significant amount of ground to cover.
Are you negotiating about parades within those talks?
Well, I would have assumed that we were. I think yesterday we'd have to re-examine, given what was revealed yesterday, whether people were genuinely negotiating on parades. We were having discussions in and around parades. People know where the discussions on parades fell down the last time in relation to the Haas talks. It's a narrow area of disagreement. I think that should be able, with a bit of political will, to be resolved. But if people aren't negotiating properly in relation to that, if they've given some private commitment outside of the talks, then we need to know about that. And we had said in relation to the North Belfast issue that the British government were making a big mistake in trying to operate a side negotiation with that loyalist coalition in North Belfast.
And just so that I'm clear, Conor,
agreement on parading.
So that I'm clear, so you have been talking to the DUP about parades within those talks, have you?
All of the parties have been around the table talking about parading issues, yes.
Because obviously... The charges against the DUP from elements like the TUV, that there was a commitment for them not to do that. Now, Simon Hamilton, and we're going to bring this interview to the public in a matter of moments, but Simon Hamilton has told this programme within the last few seconds, we just haven't played it out yet, that there has been engagement but no negotiation. So while you've thought you're sitting in there negotiating, the DUP are not negotiating with you over parades.
Well, I mean, that's little bit like dancing on the head of a pin. I mean, people are in the room. There are discussions going on in relation to parade. What's the difference between an engagement and a negotiation? I mean, we all know where the Haas issues ended up the last time. That's the basis for the discussion this time. And I think we do need to know from both unionist parties if they actually give a private commitment to somebody else that they wouldn't negotiate, because I think that has an impact on the ability to reach an agreement. And as we in our part of our earlier discussion, when we were saying how close are we to things, you know, if people have made private commitments not to negotiate on things which need to be resolved. I mean, the issue of parading was impacting on the executive's ability to do its work. It was impacting on the ability to get agreements here. So everybody accepts this issue needs to be resolved. And if people come into this negotiation and declare themselves to be here in good faith and ready to get down to business and address all the serious issues and give a private commitment outside of that to someone else that they wouldn't negotiate, then I think that's a problem. But I mean, we've had engagement on parades, okay. People know what needs to be done in relation to it, and we expect people to step up to the mark this week.
And would Sinn Féin be prepared to do a deal on welfare reform and not to be having at the same time meaningful negotiations about parades?
Well, what we have said in relation to all of the matters is what we need is a comprehensive agreement. And that's not just simply about ticking boxes. That is a recognition that the two major issues pressing down on the executive's ability to do work and the ability of this institution to deliver were both financial and political. And we need a resolution across all of those issues to allow the executive to be able to get off and do the work for which it was elected.
And this is all incredibly important stuff, because both yourselves and the DUP have said, look, you know, the deadline's Friday and the political institutions are under threat, which is why I'm seeking clarity this morning. So therefore, and can you give me a clear answer so that we know where we're at? If there is no deal on parades by Friday, does that mean there is no deal on welfare reform?
Well, we've said, I think a lot of parties have the same approach we have. Nothing's agreed until everything's agreed. So what we want to see is a comprehensive agreement across all the range of issues. Because the reality is, if the executive is to function going forward, and that's what people were elected for, then it needs to deal with the issues that were causing it dysfunctionality.
Sure. And
those are both financial and political.
And
creating is part of the political issue that was causing that dysfunctionality.
And I do hear that, and I understand that. So can you just for my sake, call me stupid if you want, just get a clear answer to this.
I think you've been called worse.
If there is no deal on parades, does that mean you will not do a deal on welfare reform?
It's not about two simple issues in this. What I'm saying to you is there is an agreement and a deal required across all of the issues. And that's what we're looking for, is a comprehensive agreement on the basis that the executive would only function again for a short while and then inevitably fall into the same difficulties it fell into before. So if we want to have a stable executive going forward, an assembly and institutions that are functioning on behalf of the people who elected us, then we need a comprehensive agreement across all of the issues.
And Conor, because this is so important, this deadline of Friday set by Mr. McGuinness and Mr. Robertson, it's kind of artificial, isn't it? For goodness sake, if it takes till January or February to hammer it out, then you'll just extend your deadline, won't you?
Well, I think all of the parties, I haven't heard anyone disagree with this in the talks, all of the parties and both governments accept that if we go beyond Christmas with this, that the chances of reaching a resolution on the other side of Christmas in the run-in to election are slim to none. And so there is a real sense that we need to hammer out an agreement before Christmas, whether that's Friday or Monday or Tuesday, then so be it. But we need to hammer out an agreement before Christmas, because if people know, it happened last year with the Haas talks, that once you get into January and an election year, then parties go off into election mode, and reaching compromises and agreements on issues which people are going to stand in the election on are extremely difficult.
So the deadline has slipped beyond Friday. It's now before Christmas.
Nobody was setting the deadline in stone. It's not, the issue of Thursday and Friday has arisen because that's when both the Taoiseach and the British Prime Minister are coming here. And that is obviously an opportune time, and there is sufficient time, if there is sufficient will, to get an agreement this week. If that doesn't happen this week, there's a chance to hammer some stuff out next week. But beyond Christmas, I think every one of these talks accepts that there's very little chance of getting an agreement in an election year.
To be fair to your party, you have been saying go back to the British government and ask for more money, and that's been your public position. And the DUP have very, very vocally been saying over recent months, there is no more money. There is no more money. So I'll just get your reaction, Conor. I stress again, we're going to play this interview with the Finance Minister in full in a moment or two. But in terms of a deal, here's what Simon Hamilton has just told us within the last few minutes.
We are dealing with the austerity that is emanating from London anyway. But on top of that, then, we have to use sizable chunks of our block grant to pay for those economic and social legacy problems that come from the Troubles.
So I hear that. So without more money, is a deal impossible?
OK, we need a financial package to make any deal viable.
We need a financial package to make any deal viable. So some people would argue you were right.
Well, I think, I mean, as we said from the outset, our arguments in relation to the financial issues bearing down the executive weren't with the other parties. I think all of the parties were in agreement, whatever their nuances in that, wherever they were prepared to continue on in relation to negotiation on welfare reform or other matters, all of the parties were in agreement that the cuts that the executive have been facing over the last number of years, and it's not just the welfare reform issue, but the combination of cuts to the block grant was effectively crippling the executive's ability to provide the programme for government commitments. Every day on the BBC News and other news we hear, I mean, we were listening about the film industry this morning on the way up to here, you know, every day we're hearing the impact of those cuts. And I think there is a recognition among the five parties, and that's why we called for a joint and an agreed position between the five parties. There is a recognition that, you know, even if we could resolve our political difficulties, and that those are big challenges, if the executive doesn't have the resources to carry forward his own programme for government and fulfil the mandate that's been given by the people who have elected us here, then it effectively can't function. There is a twofold problem, and both those issues need to be addressed.
And just final point to you, I guess for those people who are patting on you on the back saying you were right, we needed more money, you've held out, you're now getting it, there'll be other people slapping you saying, well, actually, welfare reform's still coming. Well, actually, the changes to universal credit, they're still happening. So the DUP were right all along. And you might be holding out now collectively for more money. And you might have got the DUP to the stage where they're saying a financial package is necessary. But it's a financial package for other things, not for welfare reform. So in other words, you've buckled.
Yeah, well, listen, this isn't just simply, it's not a playground competition between parties as to who won and who didn't win an argument. The reality is the executive is struggling to function with the finances. It will effectively be crippled if the cuts that are envisaged year on year, as outlined by George Osborne, told to us by Theresa Villiers, we're facing into eye-watering cuts over the next number of years where no longer would be able to ring-fence health or departments could go out of existence altogether. If that's the sort of future envisaged for the executive, then it could not function. It couldn't carry out its duties under the programme for government that is agreed. So there is a recognition that we need to address that issue. We need some financial package, as has been mentioned. And then we need to see where that leaves us in terms of dealing with all of the issues that the executive has been...
And do you concur? This is the final question, Conor. Do you concur then with Simon Hamilton that if Cameron isn't coming across with his chequebook, there's no point?
Well, the British government...
He hasn't used those words, but he has said a financial package is necessary.
It's more than simply a chequebook. The British government needs to recognise that the policies that they're adopting and the circumstances that we face, and it's not about that we have a special case or anything like that, we do face substantial costs, substantial spend for the executive's budget on dealing with division and legacy of their troubles. And there needs to be a recognition that the approach that the Tory government's taken is effectively going to cripple the executive. And the second thing is that the government need to recognise that they have a role to play in terms of dealing with the past. They have a role to play in terms of dealing with outstanding commitments from previous agreements. So it's not just simply about a cheque book. It's about the British government coming to the table, recognising that they're a player in these talks and that they have something to bring to the table to try and make them a success.
You'll probably thank me for keeping you, because we've now got this clip ready where the DUP is making it very clear that they haven't been negotiating with you over parade. So I'll just give you a chance to respond to this and then I'll let you go. Have a listen to this.
It's nonsense to say that we've reached any deal. There has been no discussion in the talks around and no negotiation around the issue of parade.
Really?
In fact, we've made it clear.
Do you promise?
We've made it clear from the start.
No discussion and no negotiation over parades. So if you've thought there has been, you've been being bluffed.
Well, I mean, there was all-party meeting on Friday, and there were all-party discussions yesterday. I wasn't at those particular discussions, but I listened to reports from our representatives there, and every party was represented in the room. So what we really need to know, and this is implications for a broad agreement, you know, because we're moving towards where people are starting to find some common areas of agreement, where people are starting to talk up the possibility of a successful outcome to negotiations, where we find that one party, on one of the key issues that has troubled the executive over the last number of years, one of the parties has given a commitment to an anti-agreement outside element that they won't negotiate on the issue. But that's not good faith from people who express themselves, have been willing to hear, roll up, willing to be here, rolling up their sleeves, getting down to work.
Was there issues?
That's not a way to do it. So I think we do need to hear from both unions.
Was there a paper on parades on Friday?
Conor?
I think there was. I haven't received it yet because we're only starting to deal with stuff since we came up this morning.
Well, that's interesting. So no discussion, no negotiation on parades, and yet there was a paper on parades.
Well, you know, whatever about the detail of what's going on to talks, you cannot have parties in there expressing a willingness to reach an agreement on all of the issues.
And then publicly and saying there's been...
Well, having given a private commitment to some anti-agreement elements that they won't negotiate on these issues. So that needs to be cleared up because we're all here in good faith. We've put our talks teams together to try and achieve a positive outcome. The issue of parading is a key issue, one of the political issues that we're dealing with that did cause blockage in the executive and the ability of the executive to do work. So if people want the executive to go forward on a stable basis, parading needs to be addressed.
Well, is today's talks about the past and parades?
Today's talks are about legacy in the morning, mostly about legacy today. But, I mean, there needs an agreement across all of these issues. So whether, you know, those are the formal talks that are tabled by...
When you say legacy, mostly about parades today, right?
Well, legacy deals with the issues around the past. It's the three areas that Haas has covered, the past, parading and flags and identity. But what I'm saying is that, you know, those are the formal talks in Stormont House, but the parties are engaged in bilaterals all the time and talking through all of these issues. And so we need to know that we're engaged in good faith, and I think people need to provide that reassurance if we want to have the best possible opportunity for an outcome this week.
Okay. Conor Murphy, thank you very much indeed. I know you're pressed for time, so we'll let you go. Sorry for keeping you, but a very, very important day. TV leader Jim Allister with us this morning. So you've got this situation where you've had a public assurance now, Jim, from the DUP on this programme. You've heard Simon Hamilton saying it. I can play the clip to you again if you want. There's been no discussion and negotiation on parades. I'll play it just one more time for you, Jim.
It's nonsense to say that we've got any deal. There has been no discussion in the talks around and no negotiation around the issue of parade.
Really?
In fact, we've made it clear.
Do you promise?
We've made it clear from the start.
We've made it clear from the start, Mr. Allister.
Well, good morning. I don't believe that, and I don't believe it because Mr. Geoffrey Donaldson, MP for the DUP, last Tuesday morning on your programme, boasted of progress on parades in the talks. So which side of the mouth is the DUP speaking out of this morning? Is it Mr. Geoffrey Donaldson, who boasts of progress on parades, or Mr. Simon Hamilton, who pretends there's been no discussion? There has been a morning workshop where the DUP was represented on parades. There were discussions on Friday where the DUP was represented. And really, it is dancing on the head of a pin to try and distinguish between discussions, engagement, and negotiations.
Well, and we've just heard. To be fair, Jim, to you, we've just and to the DUP. So we've just heard Simon Hamilton make it clear there's been no discussion and no negotiation on parades. And we'll play the interview in full after 9:30. But let's just remind everybody what Geoffrey Donaldson said on this programme last Tuesday.
Well, I think there has been some very constructive engagement around the talks table. We have focused in on the issues, including parades and dealing with parades and dealing with the legacy of our troubled past. I think we have made progress, at least in terms of identifying the remaining areas where we need to get agreement and the areas where there is already a consensus.
Yeah.
So I think with a bit of effort, we can get to a point of agreement.
Is that why you've walked, Jim, from the Unionist Coalition?
That is why last Tuesday I sent an email message to both Mike Nesbitt and to Peter Robinson, quoting Geoffrey Donaldson's contribution to your programme and inviting each of them to explain how this could be squared with the personal assurances that they give, repeated no later than the 20th of November, that the basis of the graduated response, so-called, would be maintained, that there would be no negotiation with about parades unless and until the Ligonier impasse was resolved. That was last Tuesday morning. A week later, there has still been no response from either gentleman. I think the matter speaks for itself. And the importance of it for me was that in good faith, I entered into a process I took in good faith and assurance, repeated several times, that there would be no negotiation about parades because that was the leverage we had on the government and we weren't going to surrender that leverage over Ligonier by negotiating on parades. I took all that in good faith only to find out that there'd been a breach of faith. And that's why I acted yesterday with others as I did.
Yeah, but what's your alternative? Have you actually got an alternative? You just want people to be able to parade anywhere and everywhere. At least if the DUP are negotiating, Simon Hamilton says they're not, but if they are, they're trying to find a way through rather than just sitting on the sidelines.
Sorry, there are two things here, Stephen, before you get too excited. There is the principle in politics, and if you make a pledge and enter in an agreement with others, then others are entitled to expect you to keep it and not to go behind backs and to break it. So that's the principle. Secondly, in respect of Ligonier, Ligonier has arisen because the Parades Commission has rolled over to Republican Parliament because government hasn't had the bottle to stand up to the threats which give rise to that legitimate demand that the men are allowed home. They don't stand up to that. So the only leverage that politically we had was to trump that threat of violence, not with violence, because we don't support violence, but with political pressure. And the opportunity to trump that in political pressure was to say to government, well, I'm sorry, we are not discussing parading with you until justice is done for the people in Ligonier. And it's as simple as that. And that's how it was presented back in July. But, of course, some have demonstrated their weakness by welshing on that and convincing the government yet again that what they say doesn't have to be paid any heed to. Well, just as. You know, a few weeks ago in your program, the DUP was saying there can never be any more money, we don't need more money, and all of that. And now, of course, they've moved on to Sinn Féin's ground and they've indicated that the chequebook is the answer again.
Well, you're going to criticise the DUP if they've brought more money into the country, are you?
No, I'm criticising the principle of the nature of the negotiation in that they are the people who told us that welfare reform, etc., had to be implemented. There was no more money, that Sinn Féin were on a wish list. All of that, and some people were going to do some strange things with that wish list. And now we discover that they're on the same wish list as Sinn Féin in terms of saying, oh, it's all the government's fault, let the government bring the checkbook and sort all this out and keep us, the Stormont executive, in place. And the checkbook will do the trick. Thank you very much.